Right. Sean said 7 o'clock, so I'm going to obey Sean. You know, Sean, you just proved once again what a prophet you are. You got my shoe size perfect. All right. Man, what a treat to be here. And, you know, you always got to... You'll see the serious side of me come out, and I'm praying that it's righteous anger versus something else later. But as you guys know, I like just to have a fun time. So that's the first part of this, is having a fun time. But the, I was very impressed that, Alexis didn't like what I was going to say. Very impressed when y'all heard that I was preaching tonight and nobody left, at least that I saw. So it was amazing. Anyway, a couple of just, not yet, anyway. There you go. I'll make just a couple of things. I'll make a reference or two here when I talk about a conference that Lisa and I went to Friday night and Saturday. So let me explain just real quick what I'm talking about. We got a really cool treat. Blessed. Wow, that's loud. Blessing. No, you're fine, Alexis. I'm just getting used to it. I'm not used to this. Anyway, we had a really cool treat. My son goes to a church in Atlanta called LifeGate International. It's very similar to this church. So I would have to say it's the closest church I've ever been to that I would say almost mirrors the atmosphere, the presence, the way the worship goes, their objective, their heart, you know, and et cetera. We've only been to one service there before. But this weekend, we got to stay at her mom and dad's, and they had an advanced prophetic conference. I don't consider myself a prophet and et cetera, but I really wanted to go. I love the teaching. I love to be a part of it. Wanted to hear. And it was, for a church that's maybe 25 to 30 people more than us, it's a small church. Somehow they get these well-known speakers that come through. And I think Dwight is the pastor, and I think he's just had so many connections over his 30, 40 years of serving the Lord is must how that happens. But anyway, so they had you may never heard of Ken Fish, but Ken Fish is a international, well-known teacher, also works in the prophetic and the miracle side. But then the other one that you will recognize was Chris Reed was there, for who's now the president, CEO of Morningstar Ministries, took over for Rick Joyner. So it's like, all right, we can go and check some boxes this weekend, go down, stay at my in-laws, see my son's church, watch him operate in his world, you know, with the community and people that he's around, and then get to rub shoulders in a very intimate 200, 250 maybe is all that was. I mean, it's a lot of people, but it wasn't an auditorium. You know, that we get to see them teach and preach on the prophetic and operate that way. Not any different than we do in this church, but it definitely is different when you've got somebody, especially two of them operating. And it was neat to watch them operate together, playing off of each other. Anyway, it's a good weekend. So if you hear me, don't want to take too long. But if you hear me mention the conference a couple of times, Ken Fish, I'm going to mention a couple of things. That's what I'm talking about. We were blessed. I'd also say before I moved on that their worship was good. It really was. It was very good. I'd go to the church just to worship. So it's not a negative, not putting it down. But there just still is no comparison to you guys up here. There really isn't. And I don't say that because I don't get paid for this. So yeah, you know I'm not saying it for that. It just really is. The presence of the Lord. Just come in, you just feel energized. Friday night was I told Jan, there was an electricity in the air Friday night that is maybe never felt before, but definitely not, I don't know, that was a new level I had not experienced. And again, I think some of that because it was a very intimate group. But that was because of Chris Reed and Ken Fish and the teaching and the prophetic and what was flowing. It not necessarily the worship, which, again, was good. You guys bring that electricity pretty much every Sunday when it comes to the worship. Craig sometimes keeps up with you, but y'all always leading. So anyway, tonight you need to watch, you need to help me. I'm going to try to, Lord, help me stay in my lane. I got a subject here I'm going to talk about that I want to make sure that I stay in a particular lane. And you'll see where I'm going with this and why I'm saying that. We recently got to go on a trip with some family members. They've got a nice new cool car. Ours are a little older. They don't have this technology, but it was a car assistant lane change. It was really cool. He was showing it off to me, puts it in cruise control. We're driving up to Nashville and putting that in cruise control. He just turns on his blinker, doesn't touch the wheel, changes lanes. And it's like, okay, that's cool. I like that. Now the thing I didn't like about it is if you want to take control and change lanes, when you start to change lanes yourself, it starts resisting you because you're doing it too fast. So that was cool once, and I would use it. I don't think I'd ever use it again because I want to change the lanes. But tonight I may need some car assistance to not be changing lanes and jumping off and over. And the lane that I want to stay in is the body of Christ and its leaders. So it's us and the leaders. I want to stay on that spiritual lane, that body of the church. Very easy to jump out of that into other lanes, but I believe that what's gone awry and what I'm speaking to is if we correct this lane, which again is the church with us, the leaders, et cetera, the body of Christ, those other lanes are just kind of going to take care of themselves. And what we're called to do is to work on our lane. So I'm going to try to stay in my lane. The title of this, everybody likes the title, you got to do that. Should have had a PowerPoint, forgive me, is Unity versus Truth. It's a very tough line to identify and divide those two. Can you overlap the two? Do they have to stay separate? Can you blur the line between that unity and that truth? And you'll see where I'm going with this. You remember the old Wendy's ad, "Where's the beef?" So think about in the next 30 minutes, where's the line? Where's the line between this unity and where's the truth? So let me read the definition before I start into the unity side. And I'm going to tackle the unity side, then I want to jump over into the truth side, and you're going to see how I'm going to blend, transition between the two. The definition of unity, a totality, and it's right out of Webster's, a totality of related parts, an entity that is a complex or systematic whole. An entity that is a complex or systematic whole. And it's the totality of those. So, unity can be a really, we could spend many weeks on talking about unity and flavors of it and variations of it. I'm trying to keep this one simple and targeted. But let's just talk about some fun examples first. So, you know, on the unity tide, and I joked with Chuck, the people who know me know that I cannot speak up here without talking something about football. So I'm going to talk about football. Let's just get it out of the way. You know it's coming. So, college football. Most people in here are going to be passionate about college football. We're going to be unified because we love our college football. We're going to be looking forward to Saturdays. Now they play it on Friday nights and Monday nights and every other night. But it used to be just Saturdays. And it's the couch potato. I'm going to sit and I'm going to watch my college teams all day Saturday. So that is something that you and I can be unified on. It's very easy. Now, what becomes hard is when you jump down into after that initial love of college football, then it becomes down into, well, you're an Alabama fan and you're a Tennessee fan. You don't love each other. There's no unity there. But suddenly the love of the college football is gone. I mean, once you get down to that level. Now, Chuck, I joked about Chuck. Chuck is a Georgia fan. I'm a Tech fan. So that's a rivalry. Now, we're the runt of the litter, Tech is anymore. So there's almost no rivalry anymore, but the little runt of the litter always is the fighter and is always the one that still thinks we might win. So I'm going to still think I'm going to win, Chuck. but anyway, that's, you know, so my point being is you're Ohio State, you're in Michigan, you're Georgia, Florida, is some really intense rivalries. People that get together can be so bitter. I mean, it's unbelievable how ridiculous people get. 30 years ago, subtract 30 years ago, look at my son who's in his 30s, and that's kind of the way I was. I mellowed since then. But my point being is, and I'm just going to hit a couple of these, is that take a step back. That's fun. It's fun to trash talk. It's fun, you know, to rub my Georgia Tech shirt on to Chuck back there, and us have fun with it. But we're not bitter about it. We're not being ugly about it. We both love football, and so we can still have fun, even though he wants to win and I want to win. Technology. I'm in Craig. You hear Craig talk about software programming, technology. I'm in the same industry, and et cetera. You know, it's so funny to get some of the programmers, tech geeks, nerds, you know, together and let them start arguing whether Android is a better operating system or an iOS. So you want Apple, you want Google. Which one's better? Do you want a Mac? You want Windows. And you think I'm laughing. It's unbelievable how religious of a subject that is on in the nerd world. So but even watching you guys up here in music, it ain't any different with you guys. You got your styles, you got your genres. You know, I really pretty much can like any genre of music except rap. I can't stand rap. But I love blues, I love jazz, country. I can even take a little bit of opera because it's so beautiful and so pure, you know, and et cetera. But not rap. But my point being about the music side of it is, now you're starting to blend it in. All of you love music that's up on this stage. All of you are good. But all of you have a different opinion on which direction you want to go and how it should go. And should you lead with the electric guitar? Should you lead with acoustic? You know, the drums is too loud. You're not got the right tempo. Or you're at the right E-flat, A-flat. I don't know music, so I'm just making that up. But are you at the right, you know, the pitch or whatever with that? My point being, in any one of these subjects, and I could hit a ton of them, and there's no reason to go any further, you get the point, is that in any one of these areas, disunity can creep in and just destroy a relationship. Could destroy a music team, could destroy a church, could destroy a marriage. And if we would just on the practical, forget the spiritual here, just on the practical lesson teaching side, back up, look at what's common, look at what both of you are united on, and there is unity, and what you can enjoy together, and just realize that some of that other stuff just kind of is not that important. And you may still have those conversations. I'm sure Tiffany argues with Jason all the time about, you know, what, how good he did in music, et cetera. But she knows at some point to back off. And that, just know that she loves it that Jason's up here worshiping the Lord and a part of this, you know, team, et cetera. Switching from just, I want to just give a few kind of silly, not silly examples, they're real examples, but jumping into on the spiritual side. So trying to stay in my lane. So is so many times, I mean, I could have gone through pages of listings here, but the disunity that fits in, that we get caught up in, get blinded with. How to do the Lord's Supper. How often to do the Lord's Supper. Do you use real wine? Do you use grape juice? Do you use real bread? Is crackers good enough? Should you do it every week? Who do you allow to take the Lord's Supper? I mean, it's going on and on. Any one of these subjects I'm fixing the list, you could go on and on. And all of us know, all of us have experienced the offense that has kicked in on these different topics. How do you do baptism? Is it submersion? Is it sprinkling? Is it you've got to do it in Chad's River out there on the Coosawattee River, you know, or is a pool okay, you know, et cetera. I mean, again, you could go on and on. Another obvious one is, do you believe in the gifts? You know, there's the evangelical, there's the charismatic. There's the kind of two different camps. Some of them get along okay, some of them don't. Some of them think, I mean, I grew up, was taught, at least this was my interpretation and translation of this, that if you spoke in tongues, the only way that could be valid is it was demonic. If gifts in tongues were not of today, then where does it come from? Well, it has to. If it doesn't come from God, it comes from Satan. Now, this is a mind of a 12, 13-year-old. I kind of was right, in that interpretation. So that one is clearly a divider in the Church of Christ, you know, is trying to find that line and believe, well, do you believe in prophetic? Do you believe in tongues? But again, in even one of those veins, oh my goodness, you know, how the prophetic should operate, how who should give it, when should you give it, how should it apply, and again and again and again. Are you pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib? Which one are you? You can't imagine the anxiety and the debate that can go on, and again, the offense that can go on when you think the rapture's going to be, and are we going to be here for the tribulation or not be here for the tribulation, and et cetera. I've even got more examples. I want to move on. The point being is there's always going to be differences. There's always going to be differences in the church. There's always going to be things that we may see Craig do. He's not here. I can pick on him. We may see Craig do that we disagree. But you know what? That's just a minor little difference, and it's probably just something, a style or a flavor or something you think should be done a little bit differently, and et cetera. So there's always going to be differences. But I just mentioned about any example, again, I'll go gravitate back to college football. And you're in the middle of a heated rivalry, always jump back and just know that that's your buddy that loves college football like you love college football, even though the team's different than the other team. In our world, in our real life, because this is our real life, on the spiritual side, is there will always be Yeshua's love that unifies us, always. So Mike and I may disagree on something, and et cetera, but Mike and I have known him for so many years, it's kind of scary. But I know that Mike and I will always step back onto Jesus's love and the Father's love, and will always stay unified in that area and not let that other put a wedge into that relationship. And more importantly, whatever God has called me and him or any of you and I to do together, Satan wants to put that wedge in between so that we don't move forward together in unity. Again, unity doesn't mean we agree on everything, but we can be unified on what's most important. Amen. So, I mean, identified some of this, you've got to come to your own, you know, I just listed a few here. You'll need to look at your own life, your own, what you believe in, et cetera. But what's that center? What's that center that you aren't going to move off of? Jesus' death and resurrection, I think, is a pretty obvious one. Our Father's love, I'll throw out another one because it kind of helps transition into what I'm going to talk about with the truth, and that's the infallible Word of God. Now, if you're working and meeting and talking with somebody that does not believe that's God's Word and it's infallible, you know what you're getting into when you're talking with them, and you still show love and you still work with them, but you know that they're kind of moved off that what's your baseline there that you're working off of. So what about truth? So I've talked about unity. Let's move over and let's talk about truth. I'll give a quick example. I was really impressed, and I probably won't do it. I know I won't do it justice. But the one gentleman I mentioned at the conference Friday night, he was the speaker, Ken Fish. And then on Saturday, they did a Q&A session between Chris Reed and Ken Fish and just let the audience ask questions. We've done that a lot here. It's a lot of fun, engaging. I was amazed they did it because it's kind of risky, you know, with those two gentlemen and they're not big of a group. But it was pretty cool. Invariably, I knew it was going to come up. And it took the second question to come up for them to challenge Chris Reed and Ken Fish on what about the 2020 elections. I am going to stay in my lane, I promise. I'm not going to go to politics. But about the 2020 elections. And Ken Fish, the night before, had talked about the prophetic reformation that is going on, basically the purification of the prophetic ministry. And really good teaching on some of that, and et cetera. So it was fascinating then that he gets posed on Saturday that question of what do you do about all the prophets and all the prophecy that was done about Trump this, Trump that, Trump coming back in, not coming back in, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And again, I'm staying in my lane. It was eloquent and kind of beautiful how he handled it. He gave his answer. He spoke his truth, what he believed the truth there was, and why we as a church and as a body and as a gifting within the church went offline or off road, off path, whatever you want to call it, you know, with that. But he did it without offending anybody, without naming any names, without, I was just amazed because I was really watching because I was like, how are you going to word this without a third of the people maybe leaving this audience when you say whichever route you want to go and say it. So my point being here is he maintained a unity in that auditorium and in that message and in that going forward, but he also spoke some really good truth out of it. And I'm not even going to go there with what all he said. We can have fun talking about that later. We can go to Waffle House after this is done and have that conversation. What I was amazed at how he handled it. And that's what I'm trying to get across. We can be unified, but we got to speak the truth. That's the transition here. And the church has failed to stay speaking the truth. So unity, I've got a note here and want to make sure I don't skip this. Unity cannot be at all costs. You cannot sacrifice truth for unity. Another word in here that just, and I'm pausing because you may see me really turn red, is it also doesn't mean tolerance. And I could literally speak for another couple of hours on tolerance and how evil tolerance is. But I'm not going to, because I think most of that's pretty obvious. Well, let me read the definition. Again, Webster's Dictionary. Definition of tolerance. Indulgence for beliefs or practices differing from or conflicting with one's own. An act of allowing something, the allowable deviation from a standard. And I put in bold here, if I had a slide, you'd see it in bold. A deviation from a standard is tolerance. Now, I'm not talking about tolerance when it comes to politics or social or woke organizations or woke businesses. That's not what I care about here. Talking about tolerance in the body of Christ and when it comes to church. I want to repeat, as I want to jump into John 8, and we'll walk through that and what Jesus did. But I want to lead into it, a phrase I said last week, and I want to repeat it. What you tolerate will dominate. What you tolerate will dominate. Just let that sit there a little bit. John 8, I love this section. Probably one of my favorite, maybe my favorite sections in Jesus's examples in the Gospels. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?" Obviously, they were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and he said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left. With the woman still standing there, Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? She responds, no one, sir. I don't know why I get emotional. I just think I would like to see this, and maybe it is. I watched all the Chosen episodes. I'd like to see this one in that Chosen episode. Get into the reason I get a little emotional is get into the moment of this. This isn't just Jesus having an argument with another, you know, Craig having an argument with Michael Watkins at Northwest Christian Fellowship over what Scripture should be and what should happen. This is a woman that, based on what Jesus comes back with, and how things are happening, there's some bad consequences of this. Number one, she's probably sitting there thinking she's going to die. She's going to get killed if this doesn't play out right. The other flip side of that, if Jesus answers wrong, there could be a riot. Jesus could be arrested, and it go down a whole different path that our Father didn't intend it to be. Now, the funny side of me wants to say, and I'm going to say it, I think this is the most bad donkey episode in the Bible. Can't say the other word. I mean, that seriously, John Wick would have gone and done a double tap on those Pharisees, but Jesus outflanked them casually, was able to turn around and deliver that message, totally throw everybody on their heels. They walked away, not speechless, not knowing what to say. That is better than John Wick ever could have done with a pistol. Seriously. But here's the part we miss so much of this. It's the last part. Jesus says, then neither do I condemn you. Go now, and it usually stops there. Go now and leave your life of sin. He showed love. Love beyond whatever any measure anybody could have ever orchestrated there. But he also didn't back off the truth. He said, sin no more. Or leave your life of sin, technically. Now, do you believe that the Word of God is the infallible Word of God? Do you believe that is, I mean, the Holy Spirit speaks to us, and that is also a living word, but that the Bible and the written word is his living word. And in that living word, and I'm going to jump over to Galatians 5. So in that living word, it talks about sin. So I want to read what Jesus, in this case in Galatians, what Paul says is sin. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Do you think in our culture, in the church, forget our culture, forget America, do you think in our country that we have used our freedom to indulge our flesh? You're blind if you don't see that happening. It ticks me off. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Again, I want to back up. How many conversations you had with other brothers and sisters in Christ and says, love is the same as toleration. If you love them, you got to tolerate them. That's not what Scripture's saying. That's not what Jesus said. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I'm just reading it straight. This isn't any interpretation. And I could give, and we all could give, dozens and dozens and dozens of verses that are going to say the same thing. But here's what I put in bold at the end of that when Paul is saying this to the church. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. He spoke to that Samaritan. Well, I don't know if it was Samaritan. I'll back off. He spoke to the lady that was in the temple that was accused of adultery and said, sin no more. I just listed a group of sins that many people today, you're not to speak about that in the church. But Jesus knew the seriousness of not speaking that truth. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now that doesn't mean if you, please don't take this. That doesn't mean that if you and I sin, that you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. But that is absolutely what Jesus is saying. Live a life going away from sin, following, and in Galatians 5, it moves right on into the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, and et cetera. And saying that's what you move into. You move away from this. There's no margin of error here, folks. Not speaking the truth means people will not inherit the kingdom of God. So tell me how we can have churches, mega churches, televangelists, thousands and thousands of followers in this country, and so we name names, I'm not going to name names, will not speak against some of those sexual immoralities, some of those sins, some of the idolatry, some of et cetera. They won't speak to it. What's the purpose of their ministry? Let's get real. The purpose of their dadgum ministry is to bring people to the kingdom of God. Jesus just told me that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So that skinny jeans, polo shirt, $1 million stage behind him that won't speak against that and tell people the truth is doing the opposite of what he says he's doing. And it makes me mad. Amen? I know you agree with me. So I apologize for being so harsh, but I hope it's righteous anger. It's something that just eats at me. It's something that needs to be directed. And it is something that absolutely our Lord Jesus Christ wants us to focus on and fix. And we can fix this lane. Let's stop getting distracted over into what our company's doing because of some, I don't know, whatever the stupid businesses do these days. Let's focus on our lane and focus on each other, our relationship, the church. If you're in a church that's not preaching this, and I'm not saying you got to preach it every day, and we still operate in love. Do not miss the message I sent up front, and do not miss the reason I specifically picked that of how Jesus treated that woman in love. It was beautiful how he handled that. Beautiful. So we can operate in love, but we can still speak the truth. Now, fall before the Lord and the Holy Spirit to know how to handle it in all the different situations that we get put in. And I don't have those answers. Most of that's going to come between you and the Lord. But we can do it. Jesus did it. You know, in fairness, I do get it. That you've got, you know, it doesn't matter if it's a 100-member church or a 10,000-member church. I get it that you're in that. Let's say you're the leader of it or one of the big leaders of that. There's a lot at stake. There is very, and that's a whole other subject we can get to. But I do understand that if you were to go and suddenly, based on what you said, you know you're going to lose 50% of your church, then there's a lot that collapses, a lot of lives that are affected. It's not just you and your fame and your notoriety. It could be the staff that you have that suddenly can't make their house payments because everything dissipated and went away. There's a lot of pressure on them. So I want to be fair. I get that. I've run several businesses and et cetera. I get that responsibility. But again, I'm going to end here. I did pretty good. I didn't go too long. Is Jesus' sentence. So I get that responsibility. I get the heaviness. I get the world you get wrapped up in. But at the end of the day, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. We have to raise the water level up so people don't drown. But then when we raise that water level up, they can swim, they can float, they can get out of that. And they have to have the truth in order to be able to do that. Amen?
Amen.
Hopefully that wasn't too harsh. Love you guys. No, I'm glad you brought it up, because there's a lot along those lines I'd love to talk about. So I'm glad you're bringing it up.
Brian, you don't have to do any heavy pastoral lifting here, okay? I promise. But if you'll just teach, maybe once a month, maybe once a quarter, I don't know. I'm not going to push him. Chuck.
Let me tell you,
go for it.
The truth is, you don't really think Georgia Tech's
going to win. He's hanging on to that 1% chance at Georgia Tech.
I love it. Hey, like one thing I do want to say, and I meant to say it, is you guys, I think it's a really cool, awesome example that we should follow of what y'all are going to do at a place called Hope.
Yeah.
There's no way in the world that everybody in y'all's team, group, community is unified on everything. No way. I bet you could talk a lot about it. And so, but what are you guys, what is y'all's unifying focus? It's Jesus and the Word of God.
Amen.
And y'all's pouring yourselves in the Word of God every week as a team. Just push all that other stuff aside that is your differences. That's what we as the church should model.
If we have shepherds, if we have shepherds that will speak the truth in love like Brian did tonight, the church will find its voice again. The truth in love. I couldn't have said it better. Woman, which was a term of respect in that day, where are your accusers? They're gone, Lord, neither do I. Leave your life of sin. You're hurting yourself.
Yeah.
Since when is telling the truth in love not tolerant? You aren't tolerant. You tolerated the behavior up to that point. Okay? We have a whole generation of children and young people who are experiencing record-breaking levels of depression and dysphoria and gender identity issues because we have enabled this, because we abandoned our post as truth tellers.
Amen.
And that is our fault.
It is.
The church, whatever your feelings are about it, that imperfect vessel that is the body of Jesus Christ, is the moral barometer and thermometer of a nation. We didn't stand up and say, no, you're hurting that child, stop. No, you should not kill a child in a womb, stop. Stop hurting yourself. I'm not doing it to be, you're judgmental. No, I'm being the only voice of reason in this land right now.
Amen.
I love you. Stop, please.
And just to add to that, that goes back to what I said about the definition. It's because you live and operate on a standard, and that standard is the Word of God. And that's
absolutely
why you don't back off on what you just
said. I do love what an interesting title tonight, Unity versus Truth. You cannot sacrifice truth for unity. There will be some people that will tell you to kick rocks, no matter how much you demonstrate you love them, tell them the truth. Well, you're just judgmental and bigoted, and you're just ancient thinking in your ways, and God bless you. We can't back off, and we cannot back down. Okay? So, Brian, excellent. Could y'all just please give Brian a hand?
I did.
So good. Been begging him to do this. So the fierce shepherd. You're going to thank God one day for those men who did get mad for a good reason. You know, Lois and I don't agree on all things. See those beautiful streaks of gray in that woman's hair? That silver? I put those there. It was my fault. It's the truth, isn't it, Whitney? She loves me. It's my wife. I picked her out of 7 billion women. She's my one and only. At the end of the day, whenever we get mad and blow up at each other, I said, it always ends with both of us crying, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interpret it that way, blah, blah, blah. Embrace one another, recommit to our marriage, and keep moving forward. All right? How many would like Brian to do this maybe one more time in the future to teach? Yes? Okay.
Hey.
No pressure.
You know what it is?
Okay.
I turned 60 this year.
Oh!
So when I turn 70, I'll do it again.
I ain't waiting that long. I'm gonna show up at your house.
No, I'm kidding. Thank you for that, Sean. I'm kidding. I'm deflecting and moving on. So let me add one thing, because you said something early on about the Bigfoot and the family and et cetera. God popped in a good one to me, and I knew this already, but he really resonated it in my spirit Friday night. Was just because Ariel, he's right. I love family. I love my kids. I love my grandkids. I love my family. I love my friends.
It's a good thing to be guilty of.
Yeah. It is. I do. And anyway, but I'm jumping on that one is because I've always also felt that this was my family.
Amen.
I really do. I mean, we've got a neat thing going here. Neat. Yeah. Isn't that really cool? I mean, neat. There's got to be a better word, eloquent word for that. Mm-hmm. A special thing going. But what popped into my spirit Friday night is I was enjoying Friday night. There's 200, 250 or so probably there, just worship of the Lord, listen to the teaching, et cetera. It's cool to get in a different environment here, different setting, you know, and it was really special, so it was cool. It's definitely the presence of God was there. And, you know, Craig's been teaching a lot on the prodigal son. He's sending out the text messages, the adopted sons and daughters. That popped into my head Friday night. And then it wasn't an audible voice, but it felt like, okay, Brian, look around. Every one of these is your family. Mm. It's not just here.
Right.
And so, anyway, I thought that was cool. That was a cool message for me.
Amen.
So maybe that's what we end on.